Chapter 10. Before walking onto the bridge, I performed my version of the Picard maneuver. No, not the space combat tactic that relies on the slow speed of light to create the illusion that a ship is in two places at the same time. I mean how Picard tugged his uniform top down after getting out of a chair. I guess the spandex or whatever fabric they used on the show rides up after a while, and it would create odd-looking creases. Apparently, creases are not allowed in the Star Trek universe. My version of the maneuver was to examine the front of my uniform for food and coffee stains. Yes, I am a general officer, but I was a grunt, and I will always be a grunt. Somehow, though I had only toast for breakfast, I got a ketchup stain on the right pocket of my uniform top. Or was that raspberry jam? Licking a finger, I wiped at the stain and licked my finger again. Definitely jam. The uniform of the day was camos, and the digital camo pattern of my Skipistan Armed Forces was varied enough that no one would notice the stain unless they looked very closely. If anyone did look close enough, they would see that what appeared to be random fractals was actually a camo pattern made of tiny monkeys, some of them doing embarrassing things. When I discovered that annoying fact, I had demanded Skippy revise the pattern. He did. The new pattern had even more monkeys behaving badly. Wisely, I dropped the subject. Sometimes it's important to let Skippy get a win. Anyway, my uniform was acceptable, so I strode onto the bridge, nodding to the duty officer, who got up from the command chair. Note that I said strode onto the bridge. That's important, something I had worked on for years. As commander, I can't just walk casually into the ship's control center waving at people like, "Sup, dudes?" On the other hand, I also can't be an arrogant hard-ass about it, glaring at people like I'd caught them goofing off on duty. My crew should respect me, not fear me. They need to see that I am calm, confident, and in control. Especially when I'm not feeling confident, because if I'm worried about something, the crew will pick up on my fear. That day, I was feeling somewhat confident. Yes, we had the return of the Elders looming over our heads, but that threat was so enormous my brain couldn't comprehend it. It didn't feel real, you know? Since we didn't have a plan to deal with that threat, or really any hope that we ever could have a plan to deal with it, I was focused on threats we could handle, like the freaking spiders assisting the hegemony government. That I could do something about. Or I could outsource that job to a professional. Through a relay station, I had sent a message to Captain Scarandum, whose ship was hiding from his own government, from the UN Navy, and from pretty much anyone in the Rindaloo Coalition. Also from the Maxalts and their allies. The kiddies had allowed him to jump away after they took Sam, the fake Elder AI. That did not mean Scarandum's ship wouldn't be treated as an enemy combatant if he encountered another Maxalt ship. Also, if the kiddies would discover that Sam is bogus, they would turn their wrath on the guy who suckered them into a full-scale civil war, namely Utavio Big Score Scarandum. Sure, the kiddies would assume the merry band of pirates had to be involved in the scam somehow, but we had Skippy with us and a sentinel protecting our homeworld, so we were a tougher target. Scarandum's lone ship would be a tempting focus for the hegemony's anger, and he knew it. The guy probably wasn't afraid for himself. He liked living on the edge. But the crew of his borrowed ship shouldn't pay the price for some sleazy thing they hadn't even been aware was happening. I figured the only reason his crew hadn't mutinied and turned on him was they wanted inside info so they could wager on his next move. Anyway, Scarandum had responded, and so we flew to the designated rendezvous site. The duty officer had reported our sensors just picked up a gamma ray burst from a Jurapta ship, followed quickly by the proper recognition signal. That's why I went to the bridge. "Chen, are we ready?" I addressed the question to the woman in the pilot couch. Reed was in the couch beside her, but Chen was acting as lead pilot for that duty shift.
"Jump option Sierra plotted and ready, sir," she responded.
"Sierra. That is S for Scarandum," I guessed.
"For Sketchy McSleazeball," Reed answered with a grin.
"Okay," I laughed as Sims came onto the bridge. Waiting for my XO to sit and get strapped in, I pointed at the main display. "Punch it." The ship jumped, emerging 10 kilometers from the ECO ship. "Captain Scarandum." I stood and waved when the familiar face of the beetle appeared hovering in the main display's hologram. "Congratulations on a very successful operation, and thanks to you and your valiant crew." His crew had been more hapless than valiant, but it didn't hurt to boost their egos.
"General Bishop, you are too kind. We were honored to merely play our parts in your masterful plan.
Under his breath, he added, "You bastard." What was that last part? I suppressed a laugh. Hmm? Must be a translation glitch, stupid machine.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I'd like you to come aboard so we can discuss future operations.
Future operations?
He didn't try to hide that my remark surprised him.
My ship is not prepared for extended flight.
What operation do you have planned?
I have a problem. I'm hoping you can develop a plan to fix it, and we can provide minor repairs and consumables for your ship. Right now, I just want to talk.
Very well. He looked uncomfortable.
One of the consumable items we can provide is vintage Burgoge. I held up a bottle and read the label. Actually, I read the translation I'd memorized. I couldn't actually read the complex Jurapta standard script.
This is from the Farah 3 reserve stock.
Huh, he gasped. How did you get that?
I have my sources. When you come over here, please bring Sergeant Jates with you, unless your crew is enjoying his company.
Scaranda made a sour face. Jates will be coming with me as soon as possible. Having him with us has been just delightful, if you know what I mean.
I think I do.
Jates is coming aboard? Skippy interrupted.
Yes, why?
He's mean to me.
You mean he doesn't buy into your bullshit?
He threatened to defile my canister,
Skippy screeched.
Listen, I will make sure he doesn't come near you.
You got that right. I'm locking the door to my man cave right now.
Whatever.
Well, since you don't want to interact with him, maybe he could take your place at the next karaoke night.
What?
It took lots of me stroking his ego for Skippy to calm down. By the time the Jurapta dropship was safely in one of Valkyrie's docking bays, the hatch to Skippy's escape pod man cave was closed and locked, as were the blast doors on either end of the passageway that led to that escape pod. Also, the area between the blast doors was filled with a sticky foam gel that would harden solid if anyone tried to force their way through. Personally, I thought Skippy's precautions were overkill, but it did get him to shut up about the threat from our favorite Verdcris soldier, so that was all right with me. Jurapta dropships used a different type of thruster propellant than the spacecraft we operated. They didn't expect us to top off the fuel tanks, but it did mean we had to wait longer than usual for toxic fumes to be evacuated from the docking bay before the inner door could be opened. Then there was a delay because the service bots had to fiddle with the adapters to seal off the unfamiliar dropship's thruster ports. While I waited, I stood at the big windows that overlooked the bay, and the pilots stared at me through the cockpit windows. After I waved a hand at them and they waved their claws back, we kind of ran out of things to say to each other and it got awkward. So I walked down to stand by the inner door. Finally, the light above the door turned green and I stepped aside to allow 6 security people to go through before me. It wasn't that I felt any need for security. The show of force was a gesture of respect to Scarandum. Kind of an honor guard, though I didn't know if the Beatles did that sort of thing. The dropship door slid open, and Scarandum stuck his head out.
A surprise party?
Wow. He held up a bottle of tequila. Let's get this thing started.
We exchanged gifts at the bottom of the ramp, where he sniffed at the bottle of Burgoge. Maybe I should have been offended, but his antennas bobbed happily.
Most of the Farah 3 I've seen is counterfeit. This is the real deal, thank you.
Here. He gave me the bottle he had brought with him.
Tequila? That's.
His antenna drooped. Despite my best effort to be diplomatic, he correctly interpreted my body language.
You don't like it. My aide asked Skippy to suggest an appropriate gift for you.
Well, I do like tequila, but it doesn't like me.
Ah, well, more for your crew, then?
I do appreciate the thought. Just then, Sergeant Jates appeared in the doorway of the dropship, and the honor guard snapped crisp salutes. I did the same. Damn, I never thought I would see a tough soldier like Jates be embarrassed, but even with his lizardy skin, his discomfort was clear. He returned the salute.
General Bishop, permission to come aboard, sir.
Permission granted, Sergeant. When he came within a few feet of me, I added, It's an honor to have you with us, Sergeant.
I just did my job, sir.
At great risk to your life and your reputation.
Which is my job, he insisted.
Then he did something unexpected. He extended a fist toward me. I bumped it, and we nodded at each other.
You know Major Frey? I indicated the Star Team operator standing with the honor guard.
We met briefly the last time I was here.
She will get you set up with your quarters.
Will I be confined to quarters, General?
Hell no, I snorted. I'm sure you'd like to use our gym, the giraffe that probably didn't have equipment for bipedal beings. The brief look of annoyance on his face confirmed that he had not been able to properly exercise on the Beetle starship.
I would like that, thank you.
Sergeant?
Frey pointed toward the inner doorway.
Would you also like to see our shooting range?
His face brightened.
I would like that very much.
Scorandum and I went into a small pilot briefing room close to the docking bay. I had instructed the crew not to say anything about the freaking elders coming back, but for information security, I wanted to limit Scorandum's interactions with the crew. Damn, I have a fine crew. In addition to the two cut crystal glasses I had requested to be put on the table, someone had thought to add a nice bottle of scotch. That was probably my executive officer. I am a lucky man. There was also a tray of snacks, crackers for me, and three small plates of, well, things the Giraptha like to eat, I suppose. The beetle food came from a box or a can. We kept a small supply stashed away for when we had visitors. Scorandum sampled the snacks and made appreciative noises, although he might just have been being polite. He also was curious after I opened a bottle of single malt scotch and poured some in my glass.
You want to try it?
I asked when he sniffed the air. He slid the glass in front of him, sniffed it, and pushed it away.
Interesting. Smells like something our women drink.
That wasn't an insult. I knew their women considered the Burgos drunk by their men to be sickly sweet.
Even among my people, it's kind of an acquired taste, I told him.
He opened the vintage bottle of Burgos. When he poured it into his glass, the briefing room was filled with the scent of cotton candy mixed with floor polish.
This, he held up the glass before taking a sip, is perfection.
I'm glad you like it.
General, I assume you didn't invite me here to compare intoxicants.
Not today, no. We have a problem. By we, I mean your people and mine, and you specifically.
His antennas stiffened. I have a problem.
You do.
On top of the problems I am already dealing with?
Yes.
Shit.
I said kind of the same thing when I heard about it. Allowing the Maxulks to capture the fake AI accomplished the objective. Thank you for that, by the way.
Screwing with the Maxulks is always a pleasure.
Plus, it was mostly your plan. We had a friendly rivalry, although he seemed to care about it a lot more than I did. Captain, you were screwing with the enemy when I was just a child. I'm still learning. That's why I need your help. We recently learned that the Rindaloo apparently are not pleased about the civil war we started. Their fleet has been assisting the hegemony against the rebels.
That bomb did not have the effect I expected. He should have been shot. Instead, he just dipped his antennas in a shrug.
That is not completely a surprise.
It isn't?
We have long known that our illustrious patrons are interested in keeping the war going indefinitely.
You know they're exploiting you and you still fight for them?
General, if you studied the history of the war campaign carefully, you would understand that my people have fought only for ourselves. Our patrons have learned that when they request us to participate in an operation, they need to demonstrate there will be a benefit for my people.
Yeah, but we are making the best of a bad situation.
Without patronage from the Rindaloo, we would have been conquered by the Maxulks and enslaved or exterminated. As it is, we have exploited the situation to increase our power, acquire new technologies, and expand our territory. You know that we are by far the most powerful clients in our coalition.
Yes, I know that.
In the past several millennia, the majority of offensive operations conducted by our coalition have been initiated by my people to further our strategic objectives.
Is that because the spiders are so lazy?
While I said spiders, he would hear his own people's slang word for their patrons. The translator software knew how to interpret my intent. It was interesting that the Giraptha found the physical form of the Rindaloo to be as creepy as we did. Both of our species had a deep aversion to predatory, crawly things, even though the Giraptha themselves had evolved from beetle-like insects.
That helps.
His mandibles on one side lifted in a grin.
At this point, no large-scale offensive action on our side can succeed without our support. Lower-tier species can sometimes pursue minor campaigns against our wishes, though that is rare. The Rindaloo are, as you said, lazy. For the most part, they do not care how our coalition conducts the war, as long as their own interests do not suffer losses. And that the Maxulks are not hurt so badly, they will consider desperate action, such as deploying their arsenal of elder weapons. I suspect, he paused to sip his drink, that is the calculation behind why my patrons are assisting the hegemony. And that, he took another sip, is your fault. Huh? I stared at him. How do you figure that? Ever since the original war between the Maxulks and Rindaloo, both sides have kept in their pockets a policy that you refer to as mutually assured destruction. If either side fears their very existence is threatened, or... He made a sour face and his antennas twitched. If the Maxulks no longer feel they are special, he said with disgust, they could trigger their elder weapons and sentinels would devastate both sides. I stared at him blankly for a long second. My instinct was to protest that strategic fact had not changed, but then something in the back of my mind woke up and said, "Hey, shithead, you know the story of the pirates being able to put sentinels back to sleep is bullshit. But the rest of the galaxy thinks it is real, and you need them to keep thinking that." I understand. Now that we humans have the ability to deactivate sentinels, we have lowered the cost of using elder weapons? Exactly. Instead of being a capability that is reserved for last use when all else has failed, elder weapons can now be thought of as tactical weapons. You call that sort of thing a battlefield nuke? Shit. Despite his fear if the hegemony government is pushed to the brink, they will deploy elder weapons against rebel star systems? That is my guess, yes. The Rindaloo probably are also concerned the rebels might grow strong enough to assault one of the bases where the hegemony stores their elder weapons. The hegemony will surely detonate the weapons before they allow them to fall under rebel control. Shit. I hadn't considered that the rebel faction might present a threat to the existence of the hegemony government. At best, I had hoped for a low-intensity conflict that dragged on for years, eating up the resources of the Maxulks and keeping them too busy to cause trouble for us. I might have miscalculated. He tilted his antennas to one side in a gesture I interpreted as the Beetle version of, "You think?" It was a risk, he added a shrug, maybe to avoid offending me. Then he said, "Any significant move against the Maxulks involves significant risk. This operation was worth the risk." "You're basing that on the juiciness of the action?" "Alas, no," he sighed. "I was not able to place wagers since someone," he stared at me, "had the idea to make me a pariah, hunted by my own people." "I am sorry about that." He waved a claw dismissively. "It is of no importance. Soon enough I will be back in the good graces of the office. We intercepted messages that the home fleet has ceased its search for me, and an analysis by the Intelligence Directorate that, while unauthorized, my action greatly benefited my people. The major complaint against me is that my action was so completely unexpected, no one was able to wager on the outcome." I snorted, which from his expression I immediately realized was not the correct thing to do. "Sorry, I didn't mean to, General, as an alien. You cannot be expected to understand the extent to which my actions are viewed as a violation of the unspoken social construct. In your society, if someone was drowning, would ordinary citizens be expected to help if they could?" I blinked. "The Girapta would not expect anyone to help?" "Of course we would. After, of course, a reasonable time for wagering on whether the rescue attempt was likely to succeed, whether the would-be rescuers themselves would drown, that sort of thing." "Of course," I responded automatically, not knowing what else to say. My abrupt and shocking action was viewed as rude. It upset many wagers already in place, even forced central wagering to shut down temporarily as their AIs were overwhelmed. That rarely happens. "Again, I am sorry." Another dismissive wave of his claw. "No matter. The incident will soon be forgotten in the excitement of wagering on the outcome of the Maxulks' civil war.
That is juicy action.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, I muttered, feeling I was in over my head. Beetle culture was so, well, alien, that it was dangerous for me to assume I knew anything about them. There is also a flurry of wagering about what the Maxulks will do now that they have an elder AI, including wagers on how long until humans become extinct. Yeah, I have bad news for the people who took that action. Also, wagers on whether Sam the AI is real or not. Shit. Was there an information leak? General Bishop, I can assure you that my people wager about everything. Although, his antennas drooped, we certainly did not anticipate you would acquire a pet sentinel. We like to keep things from getting dull in the galaxy. I must be getting old, he sighed again. There are days when I crave a bit of dullness in my life. You and me both. Anyway, you see the problem? Of the Rindaloo assisting the hegemony government? I do. We both need the Maxulks to be tied up in a civil war for as long as possible. Agreed. That's why I called you. What can I do? That's my question. What can you do about it? He blinked. You don't have a plan for this contingency? No, and I don't have time to deal with it. We have problems of our own. Problems you can't talk about. Not right now. I'm sure it will become public knowledge soon enough. General, I can't develop a plan unless I understand the overall strategic situation. While I was pretending to lose a precious elder AI and starting a civil war, you were doing something that was even more important, yes? We were, I admitted. I also heard a rumor that the Rindaloo have several task forces searching for your ship. If you made an enemy of my patrons, I need to know that, or any plans I make might not have the intended effect. Okay. For now, this is between you and me. Agreed? Before answering, he drained his glass and poured another generous measure for himself. I suspect that whatever you're about to tell me, I will need a stiff drink afterward. Yeah, probably. I'm going to skip the details because they don't matter. We captured an elder AI. A real one this time, I emphasized. He looked at the bottle of Burgos. I might need another bottle to process this news. I hear you. Can I assume this other AI was not on a shelf in a warehouse? The story of how I found Skippy was no secret, much to the eternal embarrassment of the Ruhar. No, we didn't exactly find it. We stole it. From the Rindaloo. Hearing that did surprise him. The fucking spiders do have an elder AI? Our intelligence group judged that our patrons were lying about that to boost their prestige. They had an elder AI, I corrected him. It was more like it had them. General, you're going to have to explain that. They found an elder AI, a damaged one, and part of the starship it was attached to. The way the Elders had set up distributed power between their security assets, meaning the triumvirate of master control AIs, starships, and sentinels, was still a closely held secret. That knowledge wasn't particularly dangerous that I knew of, but Scarandum had no need to know. Recently? His question was logical. Since Skippy's existence became known, every species in the galaxy had been scouring their territory in a desperate attempt to acquire their own Elder AI. The effort had been an enormous failure, but it was still consuming significant resources of both coalitions. This was a long time ago, before their war with the Maxulks. They had an elder AI all this time, and they did nothing with it? Unlike Skippy, their AI never helped them, never communicated with them. The spiders knew from detecting power flow within its matrix that it was alive, active, but it wasn't of any use to them. They had almost shut down their research project until Skippy's existence was revealed. The AI was using the Rindaloo, and the Maxulks. It used everyone, without anyone discovering it was doing anything at all. It manipulated events to get the Maxulks to attack the Rindaloo during their original war. That probably wasn't difficult, I added. Assholes gonna be assholes, Scarandum agreed. Next. Are you going to tell me this AI triggered the Elder weapons in that war? Not quite. It did bypass the safety measures on weapons held by both sides, but it couldn't actually activate weapons on its own, shit. I came too close to revealing the truth about Skippy's restrictions. Nobody needed that information.
The AI wanted those weapons used to wake up Sentinels.
Shit.
Why didn't the Sentinels keep rampaging back then?
Well, I can't discuss that right now, I said.
He wouldn't be insulted. We were both military officers. He understood about certain information being on a need-to-know basis.
We're still kinda guessing about that, to give full disclosure.
He nodded with his head, not just his antennas.
Was the AI active after that war?
Yeah. Skippy learned it has been working behind the scenes to suppress development of technology across the galaxy.
Why?
That is something I hope we can discuss at some point. What you need to know is we stole the AI from the Rindaloo and they want it back.
Can I assume giving it back is not an option?
We already gave it back. When Skippy told me Opie had been killed when it sent the distress call, I expected it would look like the dead AI canister we found on Newark. I mean, the one the Kristang scavenger team found there and we took from them. Opie's canister was different. It had shrunk to half the normal size. It was crumpled like someone had stepped on it, and the smooth, shiny surface was dull and flaking away like dirty, gritty gray sand. He choked on his drink.
You what?
It was odd to be on the receiving end of something I often said to Skippy.
It's dead. It was dead before we gave its canister back to the spiders. It can't cause any more trouble to anyone.
Giving it back was a goodwill gesture?
Something like that, yeah.
General, this has been an enlightening conversation. Enlightening and frustrating. I might not have said this if not for the fine Burgos you provided me. He took a generous sip from his glass. But let's cut the bullshit, shall we? Something happened after you took the AI. He looked me straight in the eye. Something bad. When I didn't answer, he added, that's why you need me to stop the Rindaloo from helping the hegemony government. You'll be busy dealing with, he waved a claw in the air, whatever mess you've gotten yourselves into this time.
All right. I wasn't offended.
Fine. No bullshit.
Yeah, there was a complication. An unexpected complication. We need to act before it becomes a problem.
Before this problem becomes a problem for everyone?
Yeah.
I appreciate the honesty. For us to be free to act, we need to ensure that the Maxalts are too busy to get in our way. Too busy to attack Earth again. You won't give me a hint about this problem you're working to resolve? That information isn't relevant to your task. Like you said, if we don't deal with this now, it will be a problem for everyone, including your people.
Can I count on you?
I need to think about that. Not about whether I'm willing to screw with my patrons. That ship has sailed. The question is how.
Yeah, hold that thought. We have another problem.
It's Sam. I explained about the research facility at the Neutron Star. He looked thoughtful, or that was my guess about his expression. He was looking up and to the right. His antennas were tipped back, relaxed, though the tips were twitching. He took another sip of fine vintage Burgos, stared down at the table for a moment, then looked up.
Well, there is an obvious solution to both problems, of course.
With a sigh, I said, I could pretend to know what you're talking about, but I'm tired, and I have too much shit to deal with already. His antennas twitched.
Well, you might be too close to the problem to see it, he said, possibly to avoid hurting my feelings.
It might not be workable anyway. I would need to borrow one of your AIs, and that's not—
Okay!
Skippy's avatar appeared on the table. Only he was dressed in jeans, a fleece vest, and wore a backpack with a stupid hat that looked like he'd taken it from the set of a Robin Hood movie.
I'm ready to go on an adventure. Joe, it's been real. Take care of yourself. I'll send for my precious memorabilia later, so—
Whoa! Hold your horses there, Skippy. You're not going anywhere.
Why not? He stamped his feet. This is not fair.
We need you here, and you know why.
I told you we are not going to ever fix that problem because you have no plan to deal with it, or even any hope of ever having a plan. It's a waste of time, Joe. I might as well go do some—
Skippy, Captain Scarandum doesn't need to hear details about that. We need you with us, and you know that.
Jates is also here, he whined.
Ah,
I understood the issue. Don't worry, he won't be with us for long. Oh. Oh, he winked at me. Gotcha, Joe. Geez Louise, the maintenance on some of our airlocks has been shamefully neglected. If Jates was walking by and both doors were to fail at the same time, that would be a truly unfortunate freak accident. That is not what I meant.
It isn't?
Oh, of course not. I know what you mean, gotcha. Don't worry, we can blame it all on Bilby.
You do not know what I mean, and we're not blaming anything on Bilby.
I'm getting mixed signals, Joe. The only thing mixed up is in your head, you ass.
Captain, Skippy looked at our guest. Can you help me here?
The Beetle's antennas shrugged.
My crew had the joy of Jates being with us for a time none of us will ever forget. So all I can say is that if you can ensure plausible deniability, you could...
We will handle this issue ourselves, thank you very much. I cut him off.
Captain, we need Skippy for our own mission, so you'll have to plan to proceed without our AI.
That is not quite true, General.
Skippy is not the AI I was talking about.